Now let us read together in the Word of God in our Sunday morning series of studies in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, where we have reached Psalm number 71. Psalm number 71, I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version. It's a little different in some of the verses in the Old Authorized Version, and again a little different in some of the verses of the New International Version. But the general theme or thrust of the psalm, I think, is obvious all the way through. Psalm number 71. In thee, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In thy righteousness deliver me and rescue me. Incline thy ear to me and save me. Be thou to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For thou, O Lord, art my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon thee I have learned from my birth. Thou art he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of thee. I have been a portent or a solemn sign to many, but thou art my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with thy praise and with thy glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forgotten him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my heart. But I will hope continually, and I will praise thee yet more and more. My mouth will tell of thy righteous acts, of thy deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come, or as one version has it, I will go. In the strength of the Lord, I will go. I will praise thy righteousness, thine alone. O God, from my youth, thou hast taught me, and I still proclaim thy wondrous deeds. So even to old age and grey hairs, O God, do not forsake me, till I proclaim thy might to all the generation to come. Thy power and thy righteousness, O God, reach the high heavens. Thou who hast done great things, O God, who is like thee? Thou who hast made me see many sore troubles wilt revive me again. From the depths of the earth thou wilt bring me up again. Thou wilt increase my honor and comfort me again. I will also praise thee with the harp for thy faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to thee with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to thee, my soul also, which thou hast rescued. And my tongue will talk of thy righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disgraced who sought to do me hurt. Amen, and may God bless to our hearts such a reading from his word. Now will you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm number 71, this fairly long psalm that has in it really far too much to deal with in one single sermon, but we are going to try. One respected and godly commentator on this psalm says, all this is very familiar, we've heard it all before. And without question, much of Psalm 71 can be found in earlier psalms. But that commentator went on to say, in this psalm there is little structure or continuity of thought. And I disagreed with that instantly. Because if we believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, then to say of any passage of Scripture that there is no structure and no continuity of thought is simply not valid. This psalm is really full of profound spiritual truth. And profound spiritual truth cannot always be expressed in a systematic form. So I turned to one of the other commentators who described this psalm as a psalm for old age. But if you were to conclude that this psalm has nothing for young people, you would be quite wrong. And so I think by far the best title for this psalm is An Old Man's Prayer. Now, I agree that old people can sometimes reminisce and ramble to a very great extent. But when, as in Psalm 71, the old man is a man of faith, as he certainly is, and when his faith has held him firm through all manner of astonishing difficulties and trial and suffering, and that's the significance of verse 7, I have been a portent to me. Oh, he says, people have considered my life and they've been amazed. What can it mean that that man has gone through this and this and that all through his life? But in and through all that, his faith held him firm. And when in old age, and I'm referring now to verses 17 and 18, when in old age this man still counts it his great desire and his great joy to serve God, and if he's been like that since he was a teenager and he's still like that when he's an old man, then we have in Psalm 71 a man that we should be listening to, whatever our age is. And this kind of psalm, the prayer of the old man's prayer, is something to listen to carefully, especially when people are young, so that when we are young, we can learn from the experience and the faith of those who have proved God over a lifetime and who are still going on in faith. And having written that down in my sermon notes, my thoughts and indeed my heart went instantly to recollections of the Reverend Herbert Dixon of the Kwa Ibo Mission in Nigeria. He was a missionary there for 59 years. And when eventually he did retire, he retired three different times, I think, but when eventually he retired, he still had that vitality that gave him such an interest in people of all ages, especially young people. Now I can remember being thrilled myself, intrigued as well as thrilled, and my children were, when home on one furlough he was telling us, I think he was practically 80 at that time, he was traveling to a certain village in Nigeria, and he was traveling by bicycle. But not riding the bicycle, he was sitting on the bar of the bicycle that was being pedaled by one of his young African friends. And how he said, every X number of miles we had to stop and I got off to get the circulation back into my legs and then onto the bar of the bicycle. And that was a man touching 80. Now that's the kind of man to listen to. That's the kind of man we have in Psalm 73. But in order to be politically correct, as we are now required to do, I better mention a woman as well. And I found myself thinking of Evelyn Sloan, who at the age of 89 was still in church twice every Sunday, at the prayer meeting every Saturday, and praying. and how she prayed for so many of the young people. And you'd be amazed at the number of young men who, when they began to be interested in the girl and began to feel that this was a genuine love, off they would go to this 80-year-old to talk to her about it and to get her advice. And I remember at the age of 89, she was in hospital, and she knew she was dying, and I knew she was dying. Do you know what she said? "Oh, Mr. Philip," this was about a Wednesday or a Thursday. "Oh," she said, "Mr. Philip, oh, if I could just get to the prayer meeting on Saturday evening." And by Saturday evening, she was in the best prayer meeting that has ever been, in the glorious presence of the Savior in heaven. Now, both these people, right through their life, were interested in young people and would urge young people to have faith in God, to seek God's will, to give your life to God. And in old age, their real interest was in the generation that would come after them, because they recognized that the work of God didn't come to an end with the end of their lives. They recognized that the work of God didn't slow down just because they were getting old. They were looking to those who would come after them. And there is no better school of instruction for young Christians than to listen to old people who have proved God for these many, many, many years. And I, for one, as a divinity student, used to sit on a wee stool at the feet of an old lady in Aberdeen who was crippled with rheumatoid arthritis. And I think I learned more about being a minister there than I did in Divinity College. This is what this psalm is all about. And as I'm saying, young people need to listen to the words of age and experience. I remember some time ago, many years ago now, one Sunday morning I preached, and in rather a drastic way, I was giving the young people a piece of my mind and saying that the trouble with a lot of young Christians is that they're far, far too sure of themselves and far too opinionated. The real trouble is that they haven't lived long enough. And almost as soon as I got into the vestry, a student from one of the Bible colleges was right in after me to rebuke me very severely for what I'd said. Give the man credit. Sometime later he came back and apologized. He said, "You know, you were right." I kept back from saying, "I know I was right," but sometimes I am gracious. The point is this. This is addressed particularly to younger people. If young people discuss the issues of Christian life only with young people, then they are comparing experience with people whose experience is as limited as their own. Now, I'm not making any suggestion at all that older people should make young people's decisions for them. That would be disastrous. And a word to parents. We cannot and we must not make our children's decisions for them, because that will lead inevitably to weakness. I'm talking in a Christian context, to weakness and to dependency and very often to rebellion as they grow a bit older. What we have to do, if we consider ourselves in any sense to be older, what we have to do is to point to God. And in pointing to God, to emphasize, as this psalm emphasizes, the faithfulness of God. We'll sing about that at the end of the service. I was very aware of the fact that it's a favorite hymn of the two people who are going to Kenya, and that's one of the reasons why it was chosen. Great is thy faithfulness. But then you see, this is something that really only older Christians can do. They can look right, oh, what a God. When we've wobbled and when we've been uncertain, when we've been confused and when we've been rebellious, the faithfulness of God has stood and He's held us. We were singing about it in that hymn before the sermon. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost. Oh, I'm always moved when we come to the verse. When in the slippery paths of youth, with heedless steps I ran, thine arm unseen conveyed me. Oh, I'm so grateful to God. No, I wasn't at the time. I was often angry with God, frustrating me, keeping me from doing some of the things I wanted to do. But oh, I'm so glad now that He did. And the psalmist here, right through the psalm, is speaking about the faithfulness of God. And he's saying to the younger generation, oh, you can trust a God like that. Believe me, down through the years of my life, He has been faithful to me. And in his old age, this man's heart is still fixed upon God. And this is not only an example, it is also an inspiration and an encouragement. When I used to listen to Herbert Dixon, forgive me for, yes, I'm an old man, I'm rambling. When I think of him standing speaking, standing like that, my glory I will not give to another. Oh, it made me want to be good. It made me want to be a better minister. And older generation, that's what we've got to be for the sake of the younger generation. And younger generation, don't be slow to listen to those who have proved God throughout a whole lifetime. I almost hesitate to go into the details of the psalm. It's the old man's testimony. And verses 1 to 13 are all about prayer and a sense of need. And verses 14 down to the end of the psalm have all to do with praise and an expression of gratitude. Let's look at it briefly and quickly. Verses 1, 2, and 3. The psalmist goes right to God, and he is sure that God will listen. That's quite a thought, isn't it? We were speaking about it last night in the prayer meeting, that God, the high and holy one who inhabits eternity, should listen to us. Somebody was blessed the other Sunday with the thought of God bending down to us. Well, the psalmist is sure about that. He's sure that God will listen. And he speaks of the righteousness of God. I don't know if that refers to the character of God or to the salvation of God. But we have it in these first three verses. We have it repeated or down through the psalm, 15, 16, 19, verse 24. But look at verse 3 of our psalm. Be thou to me a rock of refuge. Now the end of the verse. For thou art my... He's asking God to be something that God already is. But then you see, we need to be reminded. Oh, you what he's saying. Oh God, be to me now at the present stage of my life what you've been to me all down through my life. Verses 4, 5, and 6, he goes on to say, there is an enemy. And it seems at this particular time in the psalmist's life, the enemy is winning. But God is, and God has been his hope. They're wonderful verses. Verse 5, O Lord, thou art my hope, my trust from my youth. Upon thee I have leaned from my birth. Thou art he who took me from my mother. That's almost describing God as the midwife.
who watched over his birth. What a way to speak about God. There, from the beginning. Some of the commentators, I think it's Dr. Elder Cumming, who used to be a minister in Sandyford, suggest in verses 4, 5 to 6 that there may be a hint or a reference to the psalmist's godly mother and the godly upbringing he had as a child. But more importantly, I think we need to turn over here. I'll read it for you if you don't want to turn it up, to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1. At verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. See, that means that I was called to the ministry before I was ever born. It makes my mind boggle. I can't grasp it. But I tell you this, it makes my heart warm. And then I go to Psalm 139, a very favorite psalm of some of you. And I look in Psalm 139 at verse 13. Thou didst form my inward part. Thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise thee, and I'm reading really the authorized version translation. I praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Thou knowest me right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. Thy eyes beheld my unformed substance. In thy book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there wasn't. Oh, do you see what it means? There's a plan. There's a plan. Muck it up as you will. There's a plan. And the faithful God will persevere to work it out. Verse 17 of that psalm. How precious to me are thy thoughts. So if it's a time to think what God thinks about you and the kind of things he's thinking, not only about you, but for you. How precious to me are thy thoughts, O God. How vast is the some of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Paul speaks the same in Galatians chapter 1. God who separated me, that is, consecrated me to the ministry before I was born. Oh, I commend you the words of that hymn, number 26 in the church hymnary, when all thy mercies, oh my God, unnumbered comforts to my soul, before my infant heart conceived, where all these comforts and blessings were coming from. Think of your life planned by God, prepared for by God, provided for by God. In verses 4, 5, and 6, at the end of verse 6, my praise, says the psalmist, is continually of thee. I think he says the same kind of thing in verse 14. I will hope continually and will praise thee yet more and more and more. In verse 24, my tongue will talk of thy righteous help all the day long. He said, oh, I was speaking about you, saying, God, you're great, when I was a teenager. Later on, when I got married and when I was bringing up my children, oh, God, what a God you are. As I began to feel I was growing old, oh, I was still telling people, oh, I don't know how I'd have managed without God and his grace and his goodness. And now that I'm an old man, he says, oh, God, I'm not going to stop now. And he's going to talk about his God right to the end. It is the sense of God's hand on him and God's perfect will for him that urges him on. We've got to hurry, verses 7 to 13. He was a portent. People were amazed by all he had gone through. And quite a few of them came to the wrong conclusion. I think a lot of them said, oh, well, a man going through, oh, there must be something wrong with him. Must be something wrong with his Christian life if he's having all these battles. But they were wrong. But in these verses 7 to 13, do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. When I'm beginning to say to those that I can trust, you know, I don't have the energy that I used to have. Well, that's understandable. Mind you, I wish I'd used my young energy better. He's not able now. He's feeling his age. He's weary. He's not able to do so much. Oh, but he said, Lord, don't leave me now. Perhaps as an old man, he's looking back to what he might call, rightly or wrongly, the great days of his service. The great days of blessing when many were professing to be blessed through his work and witness. But it's different now. Would God abandon him now? Does God give people a letter of redundancy? No. He who began the good work in you, says Paul in Philippians, will bring it to completeness. And as Paul says at the end of Romans chapter 8, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But you know, younger folk and older folk, sin and complacency can cast a shadow on the love of God and our enjoyment of it and our awareness of it. Look at verses 14 to 16. I'm really only giving you encouragement to study this psalm for yourselves. Verses 14 to 16. As he thinks about God, as he speaks about God, as he recalls God's mercies, look what he says. I will hope continually. And hope, you see, is the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. We are saved in hope. This is why we need to be reminding ourselves about heaven. I was tempted either morning or evening today to have the hymn, which apparently very few of you know. The hymn that says, Forever with the Lord. It's got lovely lines in it that say, And nightly pitch my moving tent, a day's march nearer home. It's disgraceful that so many of you don't know a hymn like that. I will hope. You see, speaking about God, thinking of all God's goodness and mercy that have followed him all the days. Oh, he says, I may be an old man, I may be having the energy that I once had, but I will hope continually. And I will praise thee yet more and more. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. My mouth, verse 15, will tell of thy righteous act, of thy deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. There was a time when youngsters used to say, Dad, tell me about things during the war and where you went and what you were doing. That's all past now. But you know, we need to be able, when our children ask us, Dad or Mum, when you were my age, were you a Christian? What kind of Christian were you? How did you do things? Did you do? There is no better, there is no better thing, there is no better inheritance that we can give to our children than a testimony to the faithfulness of God. I will hope continually. I will praise thee more and more. My mouth will tell, that is, I will testify. I will speak. I will tell people of God's dealings with me. I'll tell people of how I've blundered and fell and God lifted me up and took me back. I will tell of the goodness of God. In verse 16, in the old authorized version, it reads, I will go in the strength of the Lord. Verses 17 and 18. Wonderful verses again. O God, from my youth thou hast taught me, and I still proclaim thy wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I... Oh, see, here's the psalmist. Oh God, I don't have the energy I once had, but oh, give me energy so that I can still tell and speak and testify. Do not forsake me till I proclaim thy might to all the generations to come. Thy power and thy righteousness, O God, reach the heavens. Thou who hast done great things, O God, who is like... Oh God, there's nobody like you. I love this psalmist. Oh, he says in these verses 17, 18, and 19, really, beginning of 19, I will still proclaim, because you see, there's still work to be done. And here again, we are back to the theme of how important it is, particularly that age should speak to youth. I often see a lot of us who are, shall we say, older than we used to be, after services, speaking to people who are older than they used to be. But what about all the younger people? Oh, you say, Mr. I don't really know them. Why not? Some of them may be coming around for a long time. Oh, it's so important that age should speak to youth. Not in the sense of old men trying to recapture their youth. Not older men and women trying to behave like young people. Not that. But older people teaching younger people from experience. And in so speaking, to kindle the enthusiasm for God that some of us have felt, to kindle that enthusiasm in the next generation, so that the rising generation will say at the end of verse 19, thou who hast done great things, O God, who is like thee? The end of verse 19, verse 20 and verse 21, the psalmist is speaking of how he had been taught by experience, taught by blessings and taught by trials, taught by successes and taught by failures. What had he been taught? He had been taught what God is like. He had been taught that God is a God to be trusted. And so we come to the last verses, 22 to the end. I will also praise thee with the harp for thy faithfulness, O my God. That's why we'll sing in a moment. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. But we must read that, or I'll read it for you in biblical terms. I'm sorry it's found in a book with the unfortunate title, The Lamentations of Jeremiah. It's a great book. Listen to Lamentations chapter 3. Beginning is at verse 21. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. What have you got to go out into a new week? This great God, the Lord, is my portion and your portion. And oh, whatever you take away from this service, take away this. You have a God who is faithful. And because of that, you can trust. You can praise. And you can hope. Amen, and may God bless to us his word.